for various reasons. Some mothers died on them. Some of them's mothers was evil. Some of them had good mothers. And so not everybody had that kind of experience. And another thing we'll see here in a moment, people who have had good mothers turned out bad. And some of the good people had bad mothers, and they turned out good. Life is not a... When I first began, I thought it was. And there's many preachers preach like that. If you do this... And we've had a couple come to this pulpit, and I had to talk to them afterwards, stand up here. My kids will never be in trouble because my wife and I are raising my kids the right way. I thought, hey, when they turn 18, 20, 21, you don't know what's going to happen. You do the best you can. You put your life into them. You devote your life. And you've heard me talk about my family a lot. My mom and dad did the best they could with what they could. And there was 12 of us. So they had very little time to spend with each one of us. That time that a child feels like they need sometimes. Only I didn't need a lot of my dad's time around because after he got done preaching me a sermon, then he'd begin to whoop on me. So I was kind of glad when he didn't have anything to say to me. You've heard me say that the hardest words I ever had to take was when we come to the dinner table at night, supper table we called it back then. And Dad would say, John, when you get finished supper, meet me down behind the barn. We got some talking to do. Supper didn't go down good at all, honest. I don't know if you had any of those kind of times or not. Mom just started into beating. She would beat with both hands and a switch and everything else. But they were good parents. And by the time I got out of life, I really needed a mother. And my oldest brother's wife, which is my sister-in-law, she was like a second mother to me and taught me things that I had not learned or somehow had gotten into my thick head. So be that. I understand. I'm not asking you, was your mother a good mother or a bad mother? And it's amazing, those of us that had good mothers, we thought they were really mean until we got away from home and saw some things and realized they were probably the best thing that ever happened to us. So, by way of introduction, we could just say, mothers, some good, some not so good, and leave that there. I like this verse from verse number 10 out of that chapter 31, which says everything that I would like to say and build around it. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The author is saying that there's no price that we can put up on the woman. When I have ladies that say to me, oh, I'm just a mother, I don't work out, I said, well, tell you something, that's the most important job you'll ever do. Kids are saying over and over in surveys, after they've gone through the experience of being a child, they're saying, if I could live my life over, I would like to have a mom that was there when I came home. I'd like to have a mother that chasing me when I need it. And all those things, I would have sat on a bench or a two before rather than a fine couch if we could have had that. God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. God wants us to have good mothers for the next generation and the next generation. In Luke chapter 1, verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So God chose that. Do you ever play this kind of game and wonder why God did things certain ways he did? He could have chose many other different ways to bring us into this world. But he chose that, and he chose that for his only begotten son to come into this world and have a mother and have a father. And experience that life, the goods and the bads of it. Don't you think he was frustrated a lot of times being the very son of God and watching his mother and his dad do things and thinking, that's not right, but he refrained from it. The Bible says he subdued and followed the leadership and the discipline and learned discipline from his parents. What an amazing thing. We also find that God chose Eunice to be the mother of Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:5 it says, and Paul's writing to him about this, when I call to remembrance the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuading thee also. He said you had a lineage of it passing down from your grandmother to your mother. She taught her, now she taught you. How wonderful that is. And maybe even the grandmother was still living and taught Timothy. I don't know. But God sees that there's people along the way, regardless of who we had for a mother or what kind of mother we had. God sees that there's people along the way that give us the wisdom and the teaching that we need, and understanding and wisdom. God knows what he's doing. Every mistake that man makes, God does not make that mistake in our life. I've learned when I was teaching in some of the modern release time classes, and we would use the illustration of a father to the children to try to describe God the Father. And I would notice this one boy cringe when I'd say father. And so during the break, I asked him, why are you upset when I say father? He said, that's a bad word to me. My dad beat me. My dad did this. My dad drank. My dad sold drugs. My dad did that. And you want to talk to me about father? I don't get that. So we got to understand who we're talking to and what we're talking about. But look at Asa, King Asa. His mother was an evil woman, but he did right. In 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 11 and 13, it says, and Asa did that, and he was very young too when he took the throne. Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And then in verse 13, and also Machacha his mother, even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burned it by the brook Kidron. So we see these kids, Jesus had obviously a good mother, godly mother. She was a godly woman. Eunice and her mother, Lois, they were good women, evidently, to mention. And here's a woman that's evil, and here's a young kid comes up and turns out to be a great king. Amazing, isn't it? We all reach a place in life where we have to say, from this point forward, I take ownership and responsibility of my life, and I'm not going to blame my parents. I'm not going to blame anybody. I am taking control of my life, and I'm going to do with it what I want to and might make my choices, and we'll either choose to do bad or good, and the responsibility is on us. We can't go through life blaming our parents. We got too many people in counselors' offices saying, well, I'm here because I can't get over what my mother did to me, what my dad did to me, what my dad. Listen, I'm not saying it wasn't horrible. I'm not saying it wasn't bad. I'm simply saying you have to trust God and say, listen, I'm not going to live my life being in a pool of hatred and sorrow and self-pity. I'm going to be who I'm going to be for the worthy cause of God. Amen? And I find that those kind of people sometimes turn out to be the best people. People who've had it all don't seem to have much motivation. But people who've been kicked around and beat around, when they once get an opportunity, seem to release all their emotions for good. So much for our introduction. You understand where I'm coming from. With all the years of studying and preaching on this, I don't find myself any more qualified to talk about it than anybody else. I'm simply saying we can't set down a set of rules and say, and I know the verse over there says, raise up a child and the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. But I must understand, and you must understand, that people are going to do what they want to do. And we live in an open, free society today more than any we've ever seen, when kids are, by the way, in Georgia, they're now allowing them to get their driver's license without taking a test. How about that? Now, before you go ooh and ah, you know who taught me to drive? My big brother. Back to Mom and Dad, they would say to us, we don't have time, so whoever's the oldest when something's going on is responsible. So if my little brother painted his hands and Mom came out and found him and I was with him, I got a beating. You know, that worked good, because when I got in the Army, it was the same way. Yep. Sergeant, what's these guys doing? Well, nothing. And you're in charge of them? How about we take those stripes away and give them to somebody else? You know, we got to understand that we can't just go through life without the help of other people, too. So this Prodigals 31 gives us a biblical description of a good mother. Her price is far above rubies. Think of that. Her value to the home and raising children is priceless. There's not a price big enough at a place on a good mother, is what God's saying. You can't put enough money there. Now, I got something I want to say, and I don't want to confuse you. I know mothers that work, and mothers have to work outside the home, but I want to say it very clearly. If you have children, your first responsibility is to be a mother. And, of course, at another time we talk about dads, same goes there. And he needs to pitch in and help mom out with those things. Amen? All right, let's look at some things and values why God would say that her price is far above rubies. First of all, she's a great value to her husband. And I don't care who the man is that thinks he's can do it all. He cannot. He needs a woman by his side. And by the way, that's where she belongs. Not behind him, not in front of him, but by his side. She was taken from his side to be by his side. And she needs to realize that. And he needs to own up to that leadership as well. I mean, it's a two-way street. Amen? It's not for her to be saying, hey, you got to do this and got to do that. It's not for him to say, shut up, woman. He needs to have the input of his wife into this marriage and this raising of these children. She's a great value to him. In Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Now, if the husband said, I've had this question asked, believe me. If the husband says, get your best clothes on, we're going out drinking tonight, and we're going to have a ball. No, you don't follow that kind of leadership. He says it's fit in the Lord. Does the Lord want you to do that? Obviously not. So many people are trying to find some place in the Bible that it doesn't really agree with some other place, and then they can say, I don't have to abide by any of it. It fits. You're the one that doesn't fit. You just got to get in between here and there, and God will show you the way. Amen? And wives, submit yourselves. Husbands, love your wives. And that's the very next verse. And God's saying, if husbands love the wives, then they'll be more apt to submit the way they're supposed to. And women not only need to be loved, they need to be shown that they're loved. Saying you love her with a card now and then is not all there is to it, right? There's a lot more to it than that. Put your feet up. The supper's burnt. Wait till I get my clothes changed. You get yours changed. We'll go out and I'll get something to eat. Solves lots of problems. Lots of problems. You know, we make problems when we don't do what we're supposed to do. And our doing needs to be there. And then he says again, says it twice. He says it in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives. And he tells us how much we're supposed to love them, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And I believe we talked about the bride of Christ, didn't we not? That's us. How much Christ loves us. Well, we husbands are to love our wives to the same degree and do the same things. He was willing to give his life for it. A man would give his... My dad used to tell us, if we went somewhere with our mother or with our sisters, if anybody degrades your mother or your sisters in front of you, you better give him what's coming. And if you don't, I'm going to give it to you when I find out. You were supposed to be in an honored position to be a man to protect your wife and take care of your sister or your mother. That's what that was supposed to be. When Jesus was dying on the cross, and he said to John, there's my mother. Now I want her to be your mother. You take care of her because I'm leaving. He was concerned about his mother. We need to understand that. She's not only a great value to her husband, she's great value to her children. Kids need mothering. And it's more than giving them a cookie, a cracker, and sad scenes. I've seen it in our family. A wife comes home from a job. She's beat. Her feet are killing her. And the kid's crying, "What'd you bring me home, Mommy? What do you got for me, Mommy? What do you got for me, Mommy?" You see what I'm talking about? There needs to be some give and take and some understanding here. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." To the wife that knows how to handle the role, how to be a mother, how to discipline her children. Mommy can't bring you a present every night. I've got to make money to help your dad pay the house rent and to pay the bills and to do what we got to do and put food on the table. And you need to be a little more understanding about that. I'm glad to see you. I brought you a great big kiss and a great big hug. And that's all I have to give to you tonight. Mommy loves you. And that's why I'm doing this. Do you think I like doing this? I don't always like that. I would like to be home and doing more. But I can't at this time in our life. So you have to understand that. We have to use every situation for training. And don't be afraid, mothers and fathers, to tell your children and say it, "I was wrong. I was wrong." We're afraid if we do that, then they're going to see us as weaker and not. No, people need to know that we're all human and we all make mistakes and we make one. Did you ever discipline a child when you were wrong? You need to say to the child, "I was wrong. I made a big mistake. I'm sorry." But some parents can't get to that, as I said. She's also of a great value to the economy. And I think during one of the things this pandemic, or whatever you want to call it, has taught us how to do things together again, how to do things from the home. Although I think it's crazy to tell people to stay home all the time. We're breathing the same air all the time. We need to get out and get some sunshine, get a walk. And what are the parks for? And who paid for the parks? Well, that bunch of junkyard dogs down there can say, "Don't take a walk, don't go in the park, stay at home, stay at home." It's just like I told you about my brother said in Korea, they stayed in their foxholes. He couldn't get them out of their foxholes. They wouldn't come out. The enemy was coming. And he couldn't get them out. And the enemy would come up and throw grenades down the foxholes and kill them all. And that's the way it's happening to us. Stay home. Stay home. And all the emotional stuff that's going on is driving us nuts. Suicide. Drinking. I got to get out of this house. You're driving me crazy, right? Kids don't go to school. Dad don't go to work. Mom can't get anything done. House is always a mess. Everybody's wanting to eat, and they're eating like a restaurant, some at 9, some at 10, some at 12, some never eat, some don't like what I have, and it's a crazy place. This is the reality of what we're dealing with. You need to get out and get a breath of fresh air, amen? She's a great value to the economy. Listen to what this mother in Proverbs 31, "She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple." She knows how to do things at home that helps the economy. We don't have to have everything bought from the store. Does anybody in here ever have feed sacks and have a shirt or dress made from feed sacks? I used to love it when we'd get that. Did anybody ever get out of the boxes of oatmeal, get those bowls, and finally match all your dinnerware up? Really? Really? This woman knew how to make something out of nothing. She knew how to take it and make special clothing for herself and for her for her family. Verse 23 says, "Her husband is known in the gates where he sitteth among the elders of the land." I can see my mother saying, "Ray, don't wear that shirt. Give me that shirt. Wear this one. You're going in town today." "Oh, okay, Bernice. I forgot to sew a button on that one. Give me that shirt." She didn't want her husband to look bad in public. That's a great value to a man. And some men need to listen to that. "She maketh fine linen and selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchant." You know, when I was a kid, Mom knew how to go out and gather a bunch of walnuts while we were going away at school. And she'd say, now I gather those walnuts. Now we got to get out there and haul them. And then we'd dry them. And then we'd put them in a big sack. And then Dad would take them to town and sell them. We'd get some money for it to buy our shoes. We didn't have to have the store for everything. We didn't have to have store-bought everything. I used to go to school with the, you ever see, remember those little, I think it's 5-pound lard buckets? That was my lunch bucket. And Mom would put ham on a biscuit in there. And I'd look at all these guys, and they'd have this cellophane wrapped around light bread and sliced from corner to corner. I'm looking at it. I was kind of embarrassed about my biscuit had come apart, and I was putting it together. I didn't know. I was the luckiest guy there, a ham biscuit sandwich, and they're eating a little bit of peanut butter or jelly or something. And half of them wouldn't eat their sandwich. I'd say, you don't want it? I'll eat it. I'll eat it. My goodness. Home. Mamas. Making do. Making little things count. The next thing, she's of great value to her country. You know, we're raising up kids that do not know what our history is all about, where we came from, or how we got here. They don't know what socialism is. They don't know what communism is. Two of the biggest nations of communism was Russia and China when I was growing up. And they're killing us today because they just have a different belief than we do. No, they believe that we're wrong and they want to kill us and take us over. And maybe that's what they're trying to do right now. Proverbs 31:4, she's talking to her son again. She says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine or for princes a strong drink. Show me in the Bible where it says you don't have to have a few boobs. Listen, God says, if you want to be a leader, you want to be somebody, don't be boozing, because it takes your wisdom away, takes your judgment away, takes your sensitivity away, and you become nothing. A mother is the first teaching that a child gets before the school gets them or somebody else. And when those things are bedded in rock-solid foundations, that boy, that girl will go out and have a home, hopefully, in that same position. As I said, some do and some don't. Not only is she of great value to her country, she's of great value to her God. The church cannot do, the school cannot do, the doctor cannot do, the neighbors cannot do what the parents can do when teaching about God. She says in Proverbs 31:29, many dollars have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Virtue is a lost art among homes. You know, when company came in, we got up and gave the company our chairs. And we waited until we were spoke to before we started talking and jumping in the conversation and interrupting our mom and dad. Those kind of things are a lost art. We were taught to hold the door open for the women, the ladies. We were taught to give them the best seat. Memorial Day's coming up. It's always a memory to me. Buried up yonder in Ohio, along the Ohio River, my mom and dad, and a couple of one of my brothers is there now. I like to go back there. But when I was a kid, on Memorial Day, Dad would have us all get cleaned up. We didn't have a car at that time. We had a big truck, and Dad would put straw in the back of the truck, and he and Mom and the smallest two children right up front, the rest of us right in the back. We had this lemonade that Mom made out of real lemons, hand-squashed lemonade. She had one of those little things that make it come out. You never drink any lemonade like that. They don't make it like that anymore. And we'd be back there, and once in a while we'd take a drink of that. We'd get to the grave, and we'd get out, and Dad would take us up and start talking about his dad and his mother. We'd take the snippers and clip off all the growth around, put flowers on. That was Memorial Day. And he'd talk to us and tell us what it was about, what they did. That was teaching us things that we couldn't learn anyplace else. Family traditions run strong. I was telling John Joyce, I said, my dad was in World War I. My brother was in the Korean War. My uncle was in World War II. All of us boys, eight boys, served in the military. Our children and our, now my grandchildren. I was at my grandson's house last night, who was a sniper over in Afghanistan. He's out now building himself. By the way, somebody was telling me what the high price of beef is. He's got 15 cows. Each one of them is going to have a calf. So I ain't worried about the price of beef. He just got a degree from Penn State in agriculture. He's supposed to know forestry, actually. He's going to be working over at Racetown Dam, I think, for the Corps of Engineers, doing something over there pretty important. So he's good. Verse 30 says, faithful favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Mom said, pretty is as pretty does, John. And pretty on the outside is not always pretty on the inside. Some real words of wisdom, right? Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gate. So what we're doing here today in honoring mothers is biblical. We need to give them their praise. Tell your mother that you love her. If you have a mother living, give her a card. Give her a hug. Give her a kiss. Oh, my mother don't deserve it. Well, then that's all the more reason to do it, because God will sort all that out. Amen? As I said earlier, all the courts, I believe we could empty prisons if there were more godly mothers. I believe we could empty a lot of the other places where they go. When I was growing up, there was no such thing as a counselor. If somebody was seeing a psychologist, it meant they were a little bit nuts. You stayed away from them. But everybody's got a counselor these days. Got to have a counselor. You know why we have counselors? Because we don't have enough of God's wisdom or brains to do what's right. And we've done wrong, and we don't know how to handle it. Those correctional institutions, that's what we call them today. When I was a kid, they called them prisons. You were being punished if you went to prison for something you did wrong. And now we're turning them loose. Oh, yeah. Go out and open up your barber shop or whatever. They'll put you in jail, and then they'll let you out because that's where all the virus is, and they don't want you in jail so you can get out of jail. Is our government crazy or what? We're going to arrest you for doing something good, and we're going to let you out of jail for doing something bad. Does that make sense to you? We're going to arrest you because you opened up your business and cut somebody's hair or did something like that. But, oh, he only smoked. He didn't really kill anybody. He just dealt in drugs. Well, he killed a whole bunch of people by dealing in drugs. What's wrong with the stupid people? And we're going to do more and more and more of it. And empty them up. And all of our counseling, they cannot take the place of a mother. The schoolhouse is not the place for the mother. I like those signs we had. You pick it up if you made the mess. You clean it up if you made the mess, because your mother don't work here. And mothers need to teach that, though. Women are certainly important. Mothers are certainly important. Think of this, men. Matthew 28, verse 5. The angel of the Lord answered and said unto the women, whose were these women? They're the women that's going to the tomb to see Jesus. I've always had one question. Where were the men? The 12 apostles were the men. You know, remember what Peter said when they took Jesus off the cross and buried him? He said, I'm going back fishing. That's what Peter had done before he started following Jesus. I'm giving up on this. I'm quitting church. I'm quitting God. I'm quitting this Jesus stuff. I'm giving up. I'm going back to fishing. And some of them went with him. And you know, in John, when he saw them out there fishing, and they'd fished all night and caught nothing. You're never going to get anything in this life that is worth having and be prosperous if it's not of God. Whether it's your fishing for fish or whatever it is you're doing in life. Be certain that you have God's wisdom and God's direction in following it. So these women are going to the tomb, not the men. Sadly, in many of our churches, it has to be the women that does the teaching. Our children need a mother, but they need men in the roles where they're supposed to be. He said, we know you seek Jesus. These women were seeking Jesus. I think in the households that I described, not all of them, obviously, but some of them were it's chaotic. Where is God in all this? They must say, where is God? Why isn't God bringing some relief to this? As I said earlier, I don't think God's going to bring relief until we get the message. Matthew 16:6, and he said unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus. They were seeking Jesus, the women, not the men. They were seeking fish or whatever the rest of them were doing. I don't know, maybe nothing. But we need to seek Jesus during this time. Where are you, God? Where am I? You remember when God came into the garden and he said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Now, God wasn't lost and fumbling around like a bumbling, gray-haired old man, not able to find his way and trying to find Adam. He knew exactly which tree Adam was hiding behind. He knew exactly where he was. What he wanted Adam to see was that he would recognize where he was. Here's God's favorite part of creation. It's Adam and Eve. And God's given him one thing to do, to take care of the garden and given him a wife. And he messed it all up. And instead of running to God, he run from God. Why aren't the church pews filled? People are running from God. Mad at the church, mad at God. So they run from God. They know deep down God didn't fail them. They failed God. Adam failed God. Oh, I'm over here behind this tree. I realized I'm naked now. And I've tried to cover myself up, but I can't do it. The Bible says that he and Eve made aprons. The aprons didn't cover much, did they? God said, that'll never do. We've got to kill an animal. Sacrifice an animal so that you'll have a covering and be covered up. Jesus died on the cross for us to have a covering for our sin, because we can't cover it up. We can't cover it up at all. And as I said, each time since we learned as fathers, there's two things that this thing is trying to teach us. Number one, that we don't have much time left. By the way, don't you like the global warming? You like the snow yesterday? Cut another tree cut a whole bunch of them. But didn't he tell us in the end times we'd get crazy times? So God's trying to teach us, to the lost man, you better get ready. Because what in the book of Revelation is really true. But this is just a prelude. I'm just giving you an early showing of what's going to happen. You better get on board. And then he's trying to say to us, the church, listen, Paul said to Timothy, in the last days we'll become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We want the beer joints open. We want the restaurants open. We want the cars racing. We want the ball games playing. We better get God back in the picture first. The first day of the week is Sunday for God, not for all these other things. Not anything wrong with going to see a race. Not anything wrong with going fishing. Not anything wrong with having fun, if you can do that. But you better get God first in your life, God's saying to the church, because you're responsible for helping me getting these people in. Think of it. When Jesus came the first time, God sent angels down to announce it. But God said, from here out, the church is to announce the second coming of Christ to the world and tell them, get ready, I'm coming back. So the angel said, just like he left, he's coming back. And if you're not ready now, and you're not ready then you're in a world of hurt. Let's stand and have prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the honoring of our mothers. And Lord, we thank you for what good women have done. We thank you for people who have made it through without a mother. Lord, we thank you for people who take their stand regardless. Lord, and every one of us in this room would have to say, at some time or another, I've failed in my life. But Lord, I'm not holding that against you or anybody else. I take responsibility, and I ask you, please forgive me and help me be what I'm supposed to be. Lord, I pray that you, those that are listening to us today somewhere else, that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, to open up your heart right now and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I admit it. I don't want to die. I don't want to perish and go into eternity unprepared to meet God. So right now, I accept your Son and his blood covering for my sins. I open my heart's door and ask him to come in and be my Savior. In Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, the piano play softly for a few moments. The altar's open for you. You know, we're so afraid that we're going to be someplace and catch the virus, but we go all the wrong places. We go to crowded stores. We go here and there. Oh, but we shouldn't have church. It just sounds unreal and crazy to me. Be thankful the church doors are open. Maybe you want to come pray for yourself. Maybe you want to come pray for your children. Maybe you want to come pray for your neighbor. Maybe you want to come pray for whatever situation in your life, our country. We need prayer. John Joyce told me, be sure to have your prayer meeting, Pastor Hodge. He said, your church needs you. Be praying. People realize, and not all of our senators and representatives are bad. Maybe you'd want to come pray right now for those that are doing right, and they can stand up to our idiotic, in some cases, governors and leaders. Maybe you want to come pray for them. We'll take a few moments to do that. Thank you. Thank you. So right here in our own state, people are taking a courageous stand against the governor's wishes. They need prayer. They're men and women of honor. We like that kind of leadership. We need to pray for them. Okay, we're going to sing hymn number 636, okay? I think we're all four verses, right?
Sure. I tell you what, though, Pastor Hodge, I sure hope this corona, whatever lockdown, is done by the 4th of July so we can celebrate our freedom.
Amen. 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 Travis said, we hope it's done by the 4th of July so we can celebrate our freedom. But this church will. We're celebrating a car show the week before.
Yes.
And everybody's saying do that, and we'll do that as well.
Absolutely.
Let's sing.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best for me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped it free? I wonder, have I done the best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? The hours that I've wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ so free. Because of all the lack for love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. How many are the lost? so much for me. I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped and wandered to the Savior, the seed of precious life I must have sown. How many of the lost are that I have lifted? How many of the chained up I have set free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me? I wonder, will I sit in the valley? I've climbed the mountain heights above. The world is dying now for what does one want to help the Savior's matchless love? How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chains I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done so much for me?
Thank you. I want to say, I should have said it earlier in the service. I did not. Be sensible with your social distancing as they talk and your hand washing and all that. And there's a big to-do, and as I noticed, some of you wore them on the way in about wearing masks. I don't feel comfortable wearing it. In the first place, it makes me blind. I can't see, and I stumble around and up anyway. I don't need that. And I think it's kind of nasty after a while, at least with me. I mean, I'd have to wash it three times a day to feel like I was comfortable. So you do what you want to do. I mean, be sensible, okay? We're not being foolish, but we are not being told that we cannot worship and have church. We're going to have church. You can tell other people that. And I'll do everything I can to help protect, and we got bulletins back there, the offering plates back there. We've got sanitizer back there. One other thing I need to know. If you know of anybody that can't get out, needs food or some other service at their home, please tell us and we'll get it done. We got a yard cut this past week and may have to do it again. Joe's wife, she needed her, and she said, I got too much pride. I don't like to ask people. I said, well, I'll ask them for you. So we did and we got it done. So let's think about how we can help other people during this time that maybe nobody's thought about. So if you know of anybody, please let us know, okay? All right, let's look to the Lord and be dismissed in prayer. Brother Emery, would you have our closing prayer, please?